Hello and welcome to the first episode of a brand new podcast series dedicated to understanding public relations for business, the art of PR. My name is Dave Harries, and joining me as my regular co-presenter as we explore the whys and wherefores of PR in all its many forms is PR specialist Verity Blake. Verity owns and runs Head On PR, who are the originators and sponsors of this podcast series. Head On PR are a Cheltenham-based creative PR agency with huge experience of helping the SME sector use PR in effective and original ways through press, social media, broadcast and digital to create real stakeholder engagement as well as build reputation and brand recognition. In today's first podcast episode, we're going to explore some of the basics of PR and ask, what exactly is PR for? And is it relevant for a small company? So Verity, let's start at the beginning. What is PR?
Hi, Dave. So yeah, PR is a very broad term. It can mean quite a lot of different things to different people, but generally it's about connecting and building relationships with your customers and stakeholders, and building a reputation through authentic and expert content.
So Verity, we know what PR is, but what are the types of PR? You know, what are the tools in your toolbox, as it were?
Yeah, there's quite a lot, actually. If you've got a really good creative PR person, there's quite a lot you can do, even if you're a small business and you don't necessarily have a big, you know, constant flow of information going out. So you've obviously got the typical news release. So you've got product announcements, business developments, new appointment wins, customer stories. You've got case studies. Again, great endorsement to have your customer endorsing your brand. Thought leadership articles, they're really key to get out your expertise. Any small business can do that because you will have experts within your business. Extract that information, extract that expertise, find some really strong spokespeople and get those thought leadership articles out there. You can do some market research, which we've done, and some white papers, guides, tips, advice. You know, all this is great content, shows the value of your business and brings value to your customers and prospects. Then you can then repurpose that in various different ways through social media, through traditional media, through podcasts, webinars. So you've got that content, then use it in many different ways. So you've got that constant flow going out.
Thinking about it from the point of view of a small business, I wonder if a lot of small businesses sort of think, well, PR's not really for us. PR's for big companies like, you know, Sainsbury's or British Telecom, or, you know, these massive corporates, these worldwide brands. They have PR departments and professional PR people working for them. You know, they do all that stuff. But how is that relevant to me? So perhaps you could explode that myth a bit that PR is only for the big boys.
Yeah, PR is for any organisation, really, large or small, startup, individual, entrepreneur. The value of PR is, as I said, it's about connecting to your customers. So any business person that wants to grow and build a customer base should be doing PR. I mean, ultimately, it's part and parcel of today, especially in today's digital world where people are consuming content more than ever. And most people take themselves down the sales pipeline more than ever by doing their own research. So they're looking for information from trusted sources. So yes, big corporates do have big PR machines behind them because they have big customer bases. They have a lot of different elements. They might have issues management, crisis management teams, public affairs teams to lobby government. But that's not saying for small businesses, there are elements of PR which are really relevant to them to get their brand awareness out there and build their reputation so that they become familiar with their customers.
So what we're saying really is, in a way, it's a different sort of PR, but it's still PR. It's still public relations. It's still engaging with external channels, if you like, whether that be newspapers, magazines, broadcast, digital, whatever it might be. So I wonder whether you could perhaps give us an example of a small company, how a small company might choose to use PR through one of those channels or several of those channels, and what they might be talking about to a wider audience.
Majority of our clients are small businesses and can be from literally one person, businesses to up to 30 million turnover. And the relevance to them all is that, yes, they don't always have that news coming out of the business. So they don't always have new product developments to shout about, new people joining. And it is all about creating that content. But PR, that is what PR does. It creates that really content that resonates with your customer. So it's understanding who your customer is and then finding out, OK, what are the sort of challenges that are facing them and creating the content for that. And yeah, with a sort of a smaller organisation. So, for example, we have worked with companies, a small tech firm we worked with that had literally just launched into the market. So they didn't have a lot of case studies. They didn't have a lot of staff. There was literally three of them. So what we did is we created news, but they wanted to get a name for themselves around the SD-WAN area is a technical term. And so we created some research. We did some research into their market. They then instantly positioned themselves as experts in that area. You know, they showed their knowledge, their expertise by sharing that market research with their customers. That market research touched the hearts and minds of their customers because it was focusing on the challenges that their particular customer base was struggling with. And so they instantly created a connection. We turned those research into a news story, which then resonated and got picked up by a lot of their tech media titles that a lot of their customers are reading. They turned it into a report, which then we put out through social media, which was downloadable, and then that attracted people to their website. But overall, yes, it was great for building their brand awareness, but it built their reputation in a particular area and it provided valuable content for their existing and potential customers. So that's an example of where we've used it with a small business.
What was really interesting there about that example was that obviously, you know, there were several channels there. And one thing that I alluded to, you know, local newspapers and things like that earlier on. But of course, what you were talking about there was sort of trade press and things like that, which particularly for business to business companies would be possibly very relevant, because obviously if you appear in the trade press, you know, your customers are going to see you there if they read those magazines, and it might have a very focused effect on the people reading that who are your potential customers. And you also mentioned digital social media and that sort of thing, which of course is a relatively new channel. And I suppose in that sense, I was thinking about this, and I know you and I have talked about it, about how a podcast like this is also a form of public relations, really, because it's just one where you happen, if you originate the podcast, you happen to control the channel. But in a sense, it's the same as, you know, appearing on the radio or whatever. It's just another form of getting your message, getting the information out there to your customers and your prospects.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. And actually, a really important point for small businesses in particular that may not have huge budgets is that look at those channels that you can actually own. So look at social media, you know, look at podcasting, look at videos, YouTube. You can actually create those own channels yourself. So you could build that, captivate and build an audience that you continue to retain, so that when that audience is ready to buy, you're actually front of mind because you've built that channel yourself.
And that's a huge thing, isn't it? Because if you think about, you know, I don't know, 20, 25 years ago, when social media and things, you know, YouTube, Twitter, that sort of stuff didn't exist, the idea of having your own channel would be extraordinary. And in fact, then you were reliant on existing channels, magazines, newspapers, broadcasters, that sort of thing, TV, radio. And then, of course, you have to get through the gatekeepers. You know, you have to get through the editors. And of course, you as a PR professional, kind of that's a big part of your job, isn't it? Knowing who those gatekeepers are, being able to get to them, being able to offer them stories and you know, press releases and that sort of thing that are going to pique their interest. And I wanted to ask you a little bit about that, because I know from my own background in broadcasting that, you know, one of the things that producers are always looking for is content. You know, it's how you make a good program, and it's the same in newspapers. Editors are looking for content. They're looking for stuff that is going to go in their newspaper and make it more interesting to the reader. So I suppose, as a PR professional like yourself, you can help feed that hunger, if you like, for content amongst those professionals.
We come across a lot of companies that come to us because they've tried to do PR themselves, and it's just not, they just can't understand why their press release hasn't been picked up. They go, and then we look at their press release or we look at their story, or we look at their pitch, and we inform them as to there is a particular art to be pitching to the newspapers, to the media, online press. And as you say, you know, they are hungry for content ever more so, because they are like every business at the moment, you know, things, resource is tight. People are being unfortunately, sadly, laid off their jobs. And this has been ever more true in particularly with the, you know, with the newspaper industry. So they are looking for PRs that know how to write good content, create good stories. They can then slot into their media platforms. It is important to make sure that the PR, you know, your story, your content is not only valuable, it resonates with your customers, but it's not an oversell. And it is an actual story. It is engaging, and it's relevant to the audience. And that's what a journalist will be looking for. And obviously as well, now you've got SEO, so they'll be looking for the headline. Has it got the right SEO type style words that are going to get it up the rankings when they post it online? So there's all those areas to think about, and that's what a good PR person will do.
And I suppose there's so much crossover now, isn't there, between, you know, if a story is picked up by a newspaper, then they will probably, you know, tweet it themselves or put it on their Facebook page, you know, and then you can retweet that yourself and so on and so forth. So there's an awful lot of sort of cross-fertilization going on in a way that probably, again, would not have happened before the digital era. So assuming I make the decision to, you know, to do some PR, and if I'm sensible, I'll employ a professional to do it, because I probably don't know how to write a press release. And even if I did, I wouldn't know where to send it. So let's assume that I'm employing a professional, and we send out our press release or release our story to the various channels, and it gets some traction and all that sort of thing. Is there a way of measuring how effective that investment in PR, if you like, is, you know, in the way that we can sometimes, or we try and measure marketing, we try and measure our, you know, how our advertising is doing. Can you do that with PR? Is there a way of saying, oh yeah, that was really effective, that worked, it increased our bottom line and that sort of thing?
You can with PR. You can measure it in terms of how much traction it's gained with engagement and people maybe visiting the website or responding on social media. So with Google Analytics, for example, a lot of our clients rely on that, and they look at, and we certainly see spikes, particularly if we've done a big campaign where we've integrated maybe research, a report, downloadable report, a news story that's hit the press, and also pushed it out on social media. They certainly see, you know, a significant spike there. Equally, though, if we're commenting, maybe piggybacking off an issue, for example, we had a law firm recently, and they commented on the whole change in law to virtual wills. So people were questioning whether wills were validated when they were doing them over Zoom. And so the government introduced a retrospective law for that. We put out a comment instantly off the back of that, and that got picked up far and wide in national and regional press, perfect for their audience. And the marketing team said, we saw an instant spike to that particular solicitor's profile on their website. So that shows that has worked, that has created and sparked a reaction. There are other more in-depth ways, but more slightly costly ways. There are obviously software tools, a lot of software tools which companies can use, or they can run focus groups. So they can see before how much brand awareness they had, and then run the focus group after. And that then measures how much brand awareness they have got. In terms of sales to the bottom line, if you've got it as part of a whole marketing piece, then it is quite tricky to say, right, well, that came from the social media, that came from the webinar, that came from the press. So it's all about looking at it in a total mix, the marketing mix.
So presumably, if I'm a small business and I've decided to engage in some PR and do something, is it important that I know right from the start what it is I want to get from my PR, as opposed to just saying, oh yeah, let's do some PR because that's good, you know, that's a good thing to do? In other words, should I say, right, actually, this is about brand recognition, or this is about my reputation, or it's about engaging stakeholders? Does that stuff matter?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the one thing that we do, first of all, is to sit down with the organisation, is to work out, OK, what are their business objectives, and then what are the communication objectives, and ensure that they are aligned. So there are so many different deliverables which a business wants to achieve through PR, and then that then affects the tactics that you use. It affects the different channels that you use and the different markets in order to reach those channels. So yeah, definitely, you do need to have clearly defined goals and objectives.
And to what extent is that stuff under your control? Because I, we talk about marketing and advertising and things where you select the message. Let's say you put it in a TV commercial or a newspaper advert or a radio advert or whatever, and that's fairly straightforward. You know, you have your message, you record it, you film it, whatever, and you put it out there. With PR, it's not quite that simple, is it? Because although you can craft the message as a PR professional, once you've sent it to the radio station or the TV station or the newspaper or the digital channel, it's kind of left home, isn't it? It's beyond your control then. And to an extent, you know, the editor or the producer or whatever of that show could use it in ways that you're not quite in control of. So I'm really interested to know how you control it. How do you know that people are going to perceive your message in the way you intend?
That comes back, Dave, to, again, having a good PR person that's got experience in communication. So they'll know how to craft the messages so that it is picked up correctly by a reporter, or where it could be maybe misunderstood or misconstrued. And it is also using your contacts. So if you've got really good contacts with journalists and you know how they write, do your research before you send it to a particular reporter. Make sure that you understand the style of which they write and how they might interpret or repurpose your stories. Generally, though, if you've written it in the correct way, you know your contacts, you know that title, then you shouldn't have any problem. It should be quite a clear-cut message. However, with digital as well nowadays, if there is something in there, you can always go back to a journalist and ask them to correct it. That is, you know, that is absolutely acceptable if it is completely been taken out of context and it's completely wrong, or they've got the wrong end of the stick completely.
That kind of brings me to another subject, really, which is the subject of authenticity. There can be a perception of PR that it's about, you know, we associate it with things like spin, you know, which is, I appreciate, as a political thing, really, you know, with the spin doctors and all that, you know, in the halls of power, not necessarily in the halls of business. But nevertheless, I think there have been examples, certainly amongst big companies, where PR has been used for perhaps less than pure reasons. You know, they've perhaps used PR to create a story which is not 100% true, is not 100% authentic. And I wonder, in the sort of world of small and medium-sized businesses that we're talking about today, presumably it's really important that you don't attempt to say something that isn't quite true, or is a downright lie for that matter, but you know, because you're going to get, particularly in the days of social media, I guess you're going to get found out, aren't you, if you try that. So authenticity right from the start, I guess that's pretty important. I mean, is that something that you sort of make sure your clients understand?
Yeah, definitely. Yes. And you're right, Dave, you've hit the nail on the head there. In this world, digital world, where you can pretty much find out anything about anything, then you will get found out. If you're overstretching the truth, you're lying. A good PR person will hold their client to account. So if a client makes a bold statement, a good PR person will say, OK, where's that evidence to back that? A good PR person has to behave like a journalist would. So if they're claiming that they've done X, they've grown their business by, I don't know, percent, or they have got a revenue of so much, or then you've got to say, OK, well, where is that evidence? If you're quizzed on that, have you got the evidence to back that up? You've got to be accountable now for exactly what you're saying. PR is all about building authenticity and trust and relationships with your customers. And if you start going out with messages that are incorrect or you're lying, then you're going to lose that trust instantly. You could literally lose that overnight. It takes how long to build a brand, but overnight you could lose that trust and respect.
Yeah, so it could take months to build it, but as you say, you can lose it in minutes if you tweet out the wrong thing or that sort of thing.
And if you do get it wrong, own up. That's the first thing you should do. You know, admit you're wrong, and you will then gain some of that respect back.
Yeah, and I suppose that brings us to another subject where I think, which potentially does even affect small businesses as well, small and medium businesses as well. A lot of companies are going to have staff, and those staff are very likely all to be on social media, some in a personal capacity, obviously, and some perhaps in a semi sort of professional capacity, representing the company. So it's not as if, you know, you have to necessarily, head office, the senior management team has total control over all the messaging that leaves a company. And of course, there have been things in the headlines recently where famously employees have sort of said the wrong thing and sort of embarrassed the company. So how do you guard against that in terms of PR? Because that potentially, could create a crisis even for a relatively small company.
Yeah, how we work with organisations to help to address that is making sure that they have a really sort of a very tight communications guidelines in place, which is communicated to all the staff, no matter whether they're, working from home, they're contractors, that sets out when you're talking about the organisation, there are certain ways that you need to be referring to them or things you shouldn't be saying. Obviously, people can talk about what they like in their free time, but when it comes down to the organisation, you're managing a brand, you're protecting a brand, and that's in the employee's interest as well, because it's their employer.
I suppose another thing that perhaps PR does better than traditional marketing might be to garner emotional responses. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but if a story that has some emotion behind it, has human interest, I suppose, behind it, is in the sort of mainstream media or on social media or that sort of thing, as opposed to being in an advert, it's likely to gain more traction, I would have thought. I mean, am I misconstruing that, or is that right?
Yeah, that is correct, because a good PR is all about connecting with your customers. So understanding, tapping into what resonates with them, touches their hearts and minds, and emotion. And it's been, many studies have shown, such as Harvard, that emotion is a key ingredient when people make a purchasing decision. So PR, really effective PR, sparks that emotion. It dates back, this about emotion, to across advertising, through marketing, through PR. And it's about sparking that emotion that then resonates with your customers and that captures their attention.
I'm really interested that emotion is part of the mix for PR, but I wonder, presumably you have to use emotion responsibly, because again, it comes back to the authenticity point, doesn't it? If you over-egg the emotion, you might end up straying into sort of bending the truth or the facts a bit, and so you've got to be responsible in the way you use it.
Yes, you do, and it is about providing something of value. Again, it comes back to value to your customer. So what content you're providing is value to them, which sparks the emotion. So they feel valued by what you're giving. It touches exactly the challenges that they're facing, which is an emotion. So it's not like an emotion like they instantly cry or they instantly laugh. I mean, there are adverts that do that, which is great, because that creates... But when we're talking about content with the PR, it's more about that. What I'm talking about here in this case is emotion that taps into challenges or solutions that your customer needs, and then they see that you understand them, and that creates an emotion because they feel connection, and that then resonates, builds the trust, the confidence in your brand, which then helps the sales doors to open.
Yeah, no, I understand. And so emotions are obviously a very wide term, because as you say, it could be literally your instant reaction of laughing or crying or whatever, but it's more likely to be a sort of longer term sort of feeling that you get about a company or a brand. And the other thing about emotion that struck me was that if you're, when you're dealing with a client who's running, a big engineering factory or something like that, do you ever, and you sort of make that point to them about how emotion's important. I mean, do you get some scepticism there? Do you get some sort of pushback where they say, oh, don't be silly, we make washers. What's emotional about that? And so do you have to convince people of this sort of thing?
Yeah, you do. I think people don't realise that pretty much everything, most of our decisions, and the research says that the majority of decisions are made by emotion. Most of us, it's to do with connecting the subconscious and the conscious, which we can talk about for another podcast. But everything that we look, we touch, we feel, it generates some form of emotion. So it could be that you're creating widgets or whatever, but it's not necessarily the product that's creating the emotion. It could be the brand. It could be the people within it, the expertise that they share.
Verity, we're nearly out of time for this opening podcast, but I hope that's been a reasonable introduction to PR for people. And obviously in future podcasts, we're going to go into some detail, and we're going to have special guests on, and we're going to have all sorts of exciting discussions around specific aspects of PR. And I'm really looking forward to doing that. But before we finish, I wonder if you could just sort of, you know, if you're in front of a room full of people, you know, reasonably sceptical people, and you're sort of trying to convince them of the value of PR, how would you sort of sum it up, you know, in sort of your pithy sort of elevator pitch, if you like? You know, what's PR for? Why am I going to do it as a small or medium-sized business?
Well, it's to get you out there so that your customers become aware of you, because if you don't, they're not going to know. And it's to build familiarity around your brand, comfort, which then brings comfort and reassurance and elicits trust. So overall, it's to get your brand out there, build your reputation, get customers to understand you, become familiar with you, and that's going to make it so much more easier to then become a prospect on their list, so when they are ready to buy, you've got that seat at the table.
Thank you very much, Verity. That's been so interesting. You've been listening to part one of The Art of PR. PR for small and medium-sized businesses with me, Dave Harris, and my co-presenter, Verity Blake of Head On PR. If you've enjoyed the podcast and found Verity's insight useful, then please tell your friends, share and subscribe to hear future episodes. For more information about Verity and Head On PR, visit their website at www.headonpr.co.uk. We look forward to you joining us for our next episode, but in the meantime, thanks for listening.